In this episode, we're talking about the law of assumption, what it is and how you can use it very intentionally so that you can create the results that you want. If you are new here, welcome. If you've been around, welcome. I'm Angela Barnard. You can call me Ange. And this is a show all about helping you intentionally design your life. So at the end of it all, you can be really proud of what you've created. You can be proud of the fact that you lived in alignment with your values and you showed up and you loved and you used the gifts that you've been given, right? You get the point. That's what I'm about here. So on this episode, I want to dive into the law of assumption because I recently heard about it and I was like, that's super interesting. So I thought y'all might think it's interesting too, and it might get you thinking in a different way. So what the heck is the law of assumption? So the law of assumption is often referred to as the key to manifesting. It's a theory that was taught by this guy named Neville Goddard, and I don't know if I'm saying his name right, but this guy. So he was an American author. He wrote a lot about things in the Bible and mysticism and self-help related stuff. And he was known as one of the most important and influential New Thought voices of the past century, right? So he passed away around 1972. So I love to like figure out who people are that said what, you know, dive into it a little bit. So I thought you might want to know where this whole thing kind of came from. And then while I was reading about him, I just said that he wrote a lot about the Bible, mysticism, and self-help. And I was like, what the heck is mysticism? I don't know. I didn't know what it was. Maybe y'all do. But for those who don't know what it is, mysticism is a spiritual belief stating that a connection can be obtained with God through thought and meditation. So it's believing that we have a direct connection with God and we can establish that connection with our own way of thinking, with just like sitting there and being intentional about that. I feel like that makes sense. That resonates with me. I feel like all of us have a personal relationship with God and it looks different between all of us, you know? All right. So with that being said, this guy wrote a lot about basically your thoughts creating your reality, right? So this whole concept of the law of assumption is that what you assume to be true, what you assume reality is, what is true about you and your situation, what you believe is true, that's what's going to manifest for you. It's basically what you're expecting in a sense, what you assume is real for you, what you assume could be possible for you. So that's a law of assumption. So he teaches, Goddard teaches, that the way to create anything you desire is simply to assume the feeling of your wish fulfilled. So you can also think about this as something you probably heard of as acting as if it's already happened. Like you would generate the same kind of feeling. I like to also think about it as becoming an energetic match for something. That's how I often describe it because, you know, I'm always talking about energy. So the law of assumption states that you can always achieve any aim you set for yourself as long as you assume the feeling, the state of being, the vibration of your aim. So in other words, like I said, as long as you become a match for it, as long as you're already generating the feelings of having it. I think this is so interesting because I've noticed often in my life when I start to come from this lack mentality, like I want something so bad and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to be happy unless I have this thing. I kind of start to get that mindset. I often describe it as like being thirsty in a sense for something. Like it's not here yet, right? I know that I'm not a match for that thing. I know that in a sense I'm resisting the thing that I desire because I'm not acting as if I already have it. It's like producing the same feeling of having it. This is why your imagination is so powerful. And this is why people spend so much time visualizing what it is that they desire, because I like to think of it as they're being intentional about becoming a match for the thing that they want to create. Because when they imagine in their mind, the brain doesn't know if it's real or not. and you're producing the feelings of having that thing. And I like to think about it as you're turning to the same, the radio station of that thing. Like, think about it as like the same frequency, the same channel of it. And I know some people can be like, what, Ange? This sounds like woo, like way out there. What are you talking about? But truly, this is science. Every single thing vibrates at a certain frequency. Everything, right? That's why when you listen to the radio, you need to turn to a certain frequency to bring in the music of that station that you desire. If you're off, what do you get? You get static. It doesn't come in. So think about that as far as what you're creating in your life. Like, if you are not on the right station, you ain't gonna get the music that you want, right? You need to figure out what that station is and get on it. Turn on onto it. So I think about it as like, when it comes to my goals, I like to think about it as, how would I feel if I already had that? Would I feel joy? Would I feel peace? Like, how can I generate those same kinds of feelings now? How can I spend more time visualizing the things that I desire? So often on this show, I talk about the power of visualization and just being intentional in that way. And I love to look back and see how much has changed in my life when I started really learning this stuff, when I started applying it, when I spent time visualizing, when I've created my vision boards. And it's not the vision board that ever makes anything a reality. It's the fact that I'm being intentional about what it is I desire. And I'm spending time allowing my brain to think about how cool it would be if that was reality for me. What would that look like? How would that feel right now? And I start to generate those same kinds of feelings that allow me to become a match for it. And I just love even like the whole ask, believe, and receive concept. That's like a biblical thing. I love thinking about that, but I look at it this way. The asking part of it, a lot of people think it's just a verbal thing. Like, hey, God, I want this. Can you give it to me? Like, no, that's not what it is. And my mindset around that whole concept really changed when I remember I was at, when I first started dating my husband, I was at his parents' house and I was sitting on the couch and we were watching, I asked him to watch this YouTube video that I had found and I thought it was so interesting. I have no idea how I found this and I could never find it again after that day. But it was a YouTube video about affirmations. It was about how, why do affirmations not work? Like, you know, the I am statements. And he was like, I'm writing down every day, I am this, I am that. And it's like not coming into reality for me. So he was asking people of all these different faiths about this whole concept. And so what he ended up discovering through like his interviews was basically like, it's not just about saying the thing. It's about thinking about it, the being of it, the feeling of it. Like when you're writing it down and you're saying it, don't just be like, I am. Like, imagine yourself as that kind of person and you produce the feeling. The feeling is actually what is asking. That's the language that communicates. But we, in our limited minds, like to think it's only about the verbal side of it. But it's not. It's about what's behind it. It's about the energy behind it. It always is. Think about this as like, you know how, if you've ever been around someone who's just kind of a jerk, you know, and they'll say something and they'll say it in a certain tone. And I'm trying to give you, let me think of an example. Like, I really like your shirt. And then you're like, I think you're a jerk. You know, something maybe that you bring that up and the person's like, I said I liked your shirt. And you're like, no, it's how you went about saying it, right? It's the energy that you had behind it. It wasn't the words itself. So that's what, when I think about affirmations, they can really help you become a match for something that you desire when you use it to visualize it, when you really are being it, right? So in this video, he went on to interview, I think they were, what were they? Monks. And he was like watching them and they were, what am I even saying right now? I'm not sure if they actually even were monks, but I know they had like the robes and everything on. And anyways, he was watching them and like one morning they would get up and they would like bang on these instruments and then they would come sit for a while and he thought they were praying. He's like, I think that's what they're doing. It's part of their praying. And he talked to one of the guys later, and he's like, I saw you guys up there praying in the morning. And he's like, no, you didn't. He's like, yes, I did. I saw you. You were like hitting these instruments, and then you sat down for a long period. He's like, you did not see us praying. And he's like, what do you mean? I saw you. And he said, no, what you saw was us doing these acts, right? But you can't see our prayer. Our prayer is a feeling that's being generated, and you can't see that. And for some reason, this YouTube video just stood out to me so much. I wish I could figure out where it, like, where it was, what it was even called, because I'd love to go back and watch it with my new mindset and all I've learned throughout the years since then. But it really made me think about the whole quote in the Bible, the whole ask, believe, receive concept. It made me look at it so differently, because I personally believe, when I look at the Bible, I think that there's so much stuff that supports our power that we've been given, our ability to ask for what it is that we desire, God wanting us to make our desires known, this concept of manifesting. But I've also seen people make fun of this concept and think it's something that is so like new agey and woo and just not of God. And I find that so bizarre to me. That has never resonated with me. I believe in a God of abundance. I believe that God wants us to have a personal relationship. I don't know why. I feel like I don't want this podcast to be something all about like just about faith, or like anyone to feel like I'm trying to force them to believe any certain way. Like I don't want that. But I just feel like this comes up in a lot with the concepts that I'm teaching, because I think faith in your own personal way is always going to be a part of you designing the life that you desire. I 100% believe that. Okay, so going back to the law of assumption. So if basically it's a principle that you can enact to help you work directly with the other laws that you probably are familiar with. So law of vibration and law of attraction. I'm sure you've heard the law of attraction. So the law of attraction is more about momentum. It's more about the energy that you will receive given your current vibration. So it's looking at how quickly you're moving towards your goals or keeping yourself in reach of them. Like you attract something because you're an energetic match for it, right? So the law of a vibration, it's a little bit different. It basically states that you're always experiencing a physical world that is an exact match to your state of consciousness. So the current vibration and state of being at which you are operating, that determines how you're seeing the world. You're always going to experience it in the way of how you are generating your energy. That's going to determine your experience. So the attraction is more about how quickly something is going to come to you. And then I think of the vibration side of it as more about like the experience as a whole and how you see the world. So one looks at like how quickly you're attracting things. The other one looks at how you see the world. Sometimes I feel like I have to repeat stuff so my own brain like really grasp it. Okay, so in a nutshell, with the law of assumption is that you get more of what you focus on, right? So even if you look biblically, there's a quote in the Bible that says, as a man thinks, so is he, right? You've probably heard of that, Proverbs 23:7. Sometimes it's worded as someone thinks within himself, so is he or her, whatever, but you get the concept. So another thing in the Bible, there's a quote that says, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about them. And I like to think that this is telling us like all the goodness, you know, like get your brain to focus on all the goodness. And there's a reason we want to do that. Because I believe whatever you focus on, you generate energy towards, you become a match for something, and you bring more of that into your life. Now, there's people that will want to argue then, why do I have all these horrible things happening to me in my life, right? And when people say that, I want to say this. It's all about your own opinion around things. Like, yeah, most of us might generally agree that if somebody is abused or whatever, that is a horrible experience. Like, we might all believe that. But really, like, every experience is labeled based on our own mindset. Like, we decide that something is bad. Because what if something awful led to something so amazing, right? And if you could see the bigger picture, if you could see it, let's say, in God's eyes, maybe you wouldn't view it so much in that way. I don't know. Like, that stuff I don't understand. I can't begin to understand it. But I know that our thoughts do determine our reality and how we see the world. I do believe that we have the power to shape our worlds based on our thoughts. So, and some stuff, yeah, I can't explain it. All right, so the reason is that nothing exists outside of your own consciousness, and your entire experience of the world is a symbolic representation of where your consciousness is currently standing, where it currently is at. Your outer world is created by your inner world. I just read something, a quote that I had wrote down. That was it. Your outer world is created by your inner world. This is something I've heard over the years a gazillion times, but for some reason recently, it's been really hitting me. Like, I'm like, wow, like everything that I create outside of my experience has to do with what is happening on the inside of me. The kind of thoughts that I'm having, the stories I'm choosing to believe, and that's determining how I see the world. I'm going to do some more episodes here about really our relationship with time, our relationship with money, and our relationship with fun, all of that stuff, because that determines how you experience the world. So I've just been noticing, like, even with time, an example is I was looking at my relationship with time and noticing how I have this thought a lot that I don't have enough time, right? That it's going so fast. I don't have enough time to do all the things that I desire. And then you know how my reality is. You know what my experience is? Is that I run out of time. I feel like that. I don't get all the things I'd like to get done because I run the story over and over. I don't have enough time. But when I start to look at time in a different way, looking at it as it expands for me, I have more than enough time. I was practicing this recently on my work trip, and I didn't feel stressed at all when I was doing my work like I normally do. I felt like so much peace. I was like, I have plenty of time to get all the things that I desire done. And I kept letting my brain go there. And I'm like, look at what you've done within this time already. And I kept on getting my brain to focus on that. And it completely changed my experience. And I actually finished my work earlier than I thought I would, which usually never happens. And it was really because I kept looking at what I was thinking, what I was believing, what was happening on the inside. And I had to keep reprogramming that thought or shifting it or reframing it in the moment when I noticed it. When I noticed myself start to get a little anxious about like, oh crap, I'm running out of time. And I would stop and I'd be like, you have plenty of time. All is well. Even if you don't complete this at this chunk of time, look at how much additional time you could have later in the evening if you chose to spend your time working on it then. You have a lot of time. So once I started doing that again, my whole experience changed. But the reason I wanted to point this out to you is that when you have these mental programs running, it's not going to, and it's been happening for a long time. It's been automatic. It's been part of your programming. It's been ingrained in that. Don't think that just a matter of one time of you deciding to think something in that moment differently is going to make it so you never like go back to the old ways, because that's a program that's been running. There's a lot of like consistent reprogramming that you're going to need to do. I like to think about it as you're driving down the road and you were used to, I give example all the time. You're used to going to work in one direction and it's automatic. You get there, you've gotten there many days before and you're like, how did I get here? Was I conscious when I was driving? I don't know. Somehow I ended up at work. I wasn't even present during the whole time. The reason why is because your subconscious took over. You've done it so many times. It's made it so that you don't got to think about it. It will take care of it for you. You can dream. You can think about whatever you want in your conscious mind. You can plan the day, whatever, and it'll know what to do to drive you there. That's how the brain is. The brain is very efficient. It likes systems. It likes to be automatic. It likes addictions. Like, there's so much stuff that we are addicted to. They don't have to be just like drugs, alcohol, and that kind of stuff. That's what we think of often when we hear addictions. But it can be things of thoughts that we're addicted to. It could be truly habits repeated over and over and over. Those become addictions. They can be healthy addictions, right? But they're still addictions because that's how the brain works. It's kind of constantly creating, in a sense, addictions or programs, as I like to call it. So what I'm saying is, if you notice the thought, like you notice you're driving down the wrong direction, you can turn in that moment and start driving down another direction. And if you keep doing that over and over and over, it will become automatic for you. So that's what I was trying to do with my whole thoughts around time. Just noticing me driving down the wrong direction and being like, I want to drive down this direction, and keep turning the wheel as much as I need to before, until it becomes automatic, right? And you may have heard these numbers. Now, recently, they say about 67-ish, somewhere around there, days of repeating something over and over, that's when it starts to become an automatic thing where it doesn't require as much energy and effort on your end to do the thing. Just like the way we brush our teeth, most likely in the morning. The habits that we have around that, there's not so much chatter in our mind. Should I do this? Should I not? No, it's an automatic thing that, because we've done it over and over and over. All right. So moving on from there. So you will see what you are looking for. This is also related to the whole law of assumption. So let me give you an example. Let's say that you have a dad who, in your experience, is the best dad, let's say. And he's always there for you. He's supportive. He's funny. He's hardworking. And like, you can't even imagine him any other way. Like, that's how he shows up in the world, right? That's been your experience of him. But let's say that dad goes to a reunion, his reunion after X amount of years. He goes to the reunion, and his buddies at the reunion remember him as the guy that was like the hardcore partier, keg stands with all the girls. And they're like, oh, there he is, right? And that's what they think of him. And that's how they see him. That's how they have seen him over the years because of their experience, right? The stories they've made up about him. All of that stuff is a part of that, where you see your dad in a completely different way. And if your dad, someone told you that that was your dad, you'd be like, what? No way. No way. Not my dad, right? Anyways, so that just got me thinking about how all of us have a different experience with different things in our life, right? And I think it's important to note that, because a lot of times we get upset at people because they don't think like we do around something. But you have to recognize that because of things that have happened in their life, because of maybe how they grew up, because of their other experiences, they may view something completely different. I know we're like, duh, and this is common sense. But so often we have to be reminded of that. We have to be reminded that there is a such thing as the law of assumption, that people are creating their reality based on their thoughts. So some people might live in a world where they are a lot more fearful of the surroundings and what's happening and certain kinds of people, whatever, because they have thoughts about it and they have energy around it, and that's causing their experience. And you might be having a completely different experience than them. So I think it's important for us to think about what kind of experience do we want to have in our life? And who do we need to be? You know, I always say this, who do you need to be? What do you need to think to have that kind of experience? All right, hold that thought, because we're going to come back to that. Okay, so let me read my notes to you. You are living primarily unconsciously because you aren't seeing things as they are. Yep, that's right. You aren't seeing things as they are. None of us are. Let's be clear. Your brain is filtering through 2 million bits per second of info at all times. It is only able to consciously integrate 134 bits per second. So that means in any given second, 2 million bits of information is coming in. And if you're like, what the heck are bits? Because I'm always like, what is that? I don't really even know what it is myself. It's a form of a measurement, but I like to think about it in my mind, 2 million toothpicks. And I still can't even see that in my mind. But a lot of toothpicks coming in at you per second. Right? And you can only take in 134 of those out of the 2 million. That's a lot of information that is missed, in a sense, right? So I kind of like to think about it as like someone sending you like this big file, big video file, right? But you're only able to take little bits of chunks in it. And then you decide this whole story, but you're like seeing only a little bit of it at a time, right? That's what we're doing. So we're only able to use less than 0.5% of the information actually coming in. So upon receiving information, the mind does three things. It deletes, like it forgets, it erases the info. It distorts, it recalls facts differently from the people that we're getting it from or the things we're getting it from. It's distorting the info. Or it generalizes, it makes blanket statements or assumptions. Hear that word again, assumptions. So those three things, delete, distort, and generalize. This is why you've probably heard where if let's say there was an accident and you interview the people that saw the accident, all of them will have different explanations around what happened because their brain is doing one or all of the three things, right? Deleting, it's either deleting information, it's distorting it, or it's generalizing it. So how can we use the law of assumption to change our lives? To change anything in your life, you have to change the beliefs and assumptions you hold about it. So changing your assumptions and assuming the presence of your desire is the only thing that will bring about your aim. You need to change what you're assuming and actually assume the presence. Act as if, generate those feelings, and that's it. Like, so I like to think about it as like, if you're imagining it, that's going to serve you, right? Because you're becoming a match for it. There's so much power in that. Or just trusting that it's already on its way. There's no, or it's here. It's here. You just haven't seen it yet, right? Even looking at it that way. So the first tip I give is to get clear on what it is you desire and who you want to be. Who you want to be. Who is that person? Spend time journaling on that. What kind of person do you want to be? How do you want to live your life? How do you want your health to be? What do you want that to look like? How do you want your space to be like? What do you want to do for work? Like, how do you want to contribute to society? Right? How do you want to spend your time? What do you want your relationships to be like? That kind of stuff. Journal on that. Think about all areas of your life. How do you want to grow? How do you want to learn? What is it that you're curious about? That kind of stuff. Okay, and the second thing is to find the feeling of your desire. Once you get clear around what it is that you desire, I want you to say, if I had this thing, how would I feel? What would that allow me to feel? Imagine that as vividly as you can, right? And the key here rests with your feeling. It's not enough to simply think about the desire or the scenario. It's to produce the feeling. So I love to manipulate, I don't know if that's the best word, but my surroundings to help me spark the feelings I desire. So y'all know I've talked about with the TED Talk dream and all that, how I have my little red circle carpet, because that's what people stand on to speak on the TEDx stage, the red circle. So I have my own red circle and it generates those feelings for me. What else have I done? I pulled up pictures of things that I've desired, put them in front of my face. I mean, I guess that's the whole point of my vision board, so I can see it. But the thing is, this can backfire on you. I want to be clear about this, because if you're looking at something and you're like, I don't have that, and you keep generating those kinds of thoughts, that's not going to serve you. So you're going to need to spend some time imagining as if you already have it. Watch. Notice how you're feeling with the process, but you can't, because you can't be generating that lack mentality. All right. So example one is, if you want to feel financially abundant, you don't wait to feel that way when you have more money. You feel it now. So this is something I've been doing recently, is I've been like keeping track of all like the financial gifts I've been given. Like if someone buys something for me, I'm like, oh, look at that. And people are always like bringing, like financial things are always coming my way, right? Look at all the things that I like have, like really getting my brain to focus on that so I can generate these feelings of abundance. So I read in a book that an example is people putting a $100 bill in their wallet and thinking of all the things that they could buy with it. So they're not like, they spend it with their own mind over and over, if that makes sense. So like you walk into a place and you're like, oh, I have $100. I could buy that if I wanted to. I could buy that. I could buy that. I could buy that. And you spend it over and over, over in your mind. And you generate that feeling over and over and over in a sense. Okay, I love that example. Example two is, if you want to be a healthy and a fit person who feels energized, think and act like they would now. For example, if I was a healthy and fit person at lunchtime, instead of going out and getting more donuts for me and my coworkers, I may go for a walk. I may hydrate. Like whatever it is that you would do, maybe you would imagine yourself, this might help you, is like at your ideal weight on the beach in a cute swimsuit. So I might even be like looking at all the cute swimsuits, like, ooh, I'd like this one. You know, if I was at the beach, I would like this one. Like, you know, like going throughout, imagining that in my mind, that can help you. But the other thoughts, I always like to think, if I was this person, how would I behave? It's something I've been thinking a lot about in my business too, around if I want to take my business to the next level. Then what are they doing? The people that are at the next level, how do they show up? They have employees, right? How can I start to think about who can I hire? Shoot, if I can even hire someone 1 hour a week, I'm starting to generate that feeling of being in charge, like, you know, having a business that has employees, doing it on a little micro scale, but it's starting to generate that feeling. And there's so many examples. You can pick anything that you desire and start to do this stuff, do this work. So let's say if you want to be a writer, you might surround yourself with writers, right? You might imagine yourself as one. You might, I do this all the time. I go to the airport, I go look at all the books, and I imagine my book in the airport. I'm like, there would be my book right there. I know it might sound silly, but I do this all the time. I imagine sending a signed copy to my friend. Like, I visualize that all the time in my mind of them, me signing a book and sending it to a friend. If you want to speak on a stage, you might do smaller speaking events and start to generate the feelings of what it's like to be around people. Okay, so you get the point. There's tons and tons of examples I could go on. So the third thing that I suggest you do is you persist. If you can imagine yourself into your desired state of being, then you have, for all intents and purposes, already achieved your aim. Right? The point is for you to feel something. Like, the reason why you want anything that you want is because you think it's going to make you feel a certain way. So it's like you acting as if you're already there. You're already a match for it. You're already on the right channel. Now it's just a matter of time until you hear the music, right? But you're on the right channel. So I think a lot of times people, here's a quote in my notes. Where most people fail to apply the law of assumption successfully is because they do not maintain the feeling of their aim long enough for it to appear before them. I like to kind of think about this as like you know how you like sift through radio stations and you're changing them. You're like, this one, like you're like looking to see what the music is. Well, you don't stay on that channel long enough to hear the music because you're quickly on to the next thing, right? So the point here is stay there, produce the feeling, produce the frequency, stay there for a while. Because a lot of people, what they do is they allow the physical world to convince them that it is not realistic or possible for them. So they get on the channel and then maybe someone in the background's like, no, that's not it. They don't have good music on there. You shouldn't go on that. Like, whatever. It's not going to happen for you. Like, that kind of stuff is starting to show up. And then No, you get yourself off that channel in a sense, right? You stop producing the feeling of having it because someone told you again that's not possible, or you found evidence like that maybe it's not possible. Then that means you have the work to do again, right? And it's always us going back and doing the work to feel a certain, it's all about the feeling. That's it, hands down. So here's another quote. Instead, you have the power to put yourself on a strict mental diet, only allowing your preferred experience of the world to influence the assumptions you hold about yourself, and using techniques like the power of revision to change any appearances that may seem to get in your way. Only when you can maintain the feeling, despite all physical evidence to the contrary, will you be able to manifest the aim that you have chosen for yourself. Only when you can maintain the feeling. But you have to be mindful of what impacts your feelings. What are you putting in your mind? Like, if you're listening to news all the time and it has all this horrible, corrupted stuff on it, that's not going to, I'm pretty sure whatever it is you desire, that's not you allowing, sparking the feelings that you, that's a match for what it is you desire. Like, you got to be mindful of this. So I can give you an example. I remember when I tore my ACL completely and everybody was telling me, you have to get surgery. You have to get surgery. I didn't want to believe that. I didn't want that to be reality for me. So I literally was like, don't tell me that. No one can tell me that. Like, I don't want to hear, if you're going to say it, I don't want to hear it. So I put myself in, I guess, on a diet in a sense, like no donuts. Like, if those are the donuts, I don't want them. Right. Because they don't align with who I want to be. So I only watch things where there was evidence of people doing well, like after tearing an ACL completely and without getting surgery. I only filled my mind with those stories because it gave me hope. It got me excited. I was like, I can do that too, right? It started generating those feelings and I became a match for it. And I ended up not having to get surgery with a completely torn ACL, which was crazy to people because then I was able to do all the running I wanted to, all the hiking. I feel totally stable, never got surgery. People think it's nuts, but I was all about, like, in a sense, guarding my mind. And I want to be clear because some people think that I'm like nuts. So like, let me be clear. If there's like my guts are hanging out of my body, right? I'm not going to be like, no medical care at all. Like, no, I'm not to that level of it. But this was something like, I was like, I'm curious. I want to see what I can do on my own. I'm curious to know how powerful my thoughts are. If I just think and feel like as if it's already like happening. I remember laying on the ground because that's where I had to sleep for a while because I couldn't make it up on the stairs. So I had like this mattress on the ground. I remember laying there envisioning myself running and envisioning myself sharing my story about how I didn't get surgery. All right. And it became reality. So in a nutshell, I hope you got a lot of out of this episode. It got you thinking about how you can apply the law of assumption in your life, what kind of mental diet you might need to take, and all of that good stuff. All right, have an awesome week, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.